name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I have the victory. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I think we might have a little victory. Yeah, that's what I long to see. Don't wait till song leader gets up. It's a worship service. You worship when you're ready. I love this word. I love our progression of the word, a progression of our understanding. More and more. Don't miss it. Keep in step. Brother Schultz said one time, got to run. Got to run to keep up with God. He's moving fast today. Amen. I hear the brothers are going to say something tonight. I'm going to start my part first.
Go ahead.
No?
First come, first serve.
Okay. Okay. I'm third.
You didn't volunteer first?
Oh, I don't know who volunteered for me.
I know.
I might not get in tonight.
I got it.
Well, be it known, I'm ready. I'm stirred.
Amen.
All right, good.
Amen. Why shouldn't I praise the Lord?
Amen.
He's been so good to me. The living word made flesh again and revealed to me. I was blind, I could found me. Then I rose up to praise the Lord for all of His mercies to me.
Amen.
Help me with the verses.
So why shouldn't I?
It's just so good to be back in the house of the Lord. Those demons are alive, and I'm so glad that you picked that song because it's perfect.
Amen.
It's just, you know, he's got to go. Satan has got to go.
Right.
And sent the pastor because I was out of town on Sunday is just what this song said. I was blind, but now I see.
That's right. That's right.
I believe this message, and I'm so happy to be back. I wanted to say something. I'm sure you all heard there was a collapse on 95 up in Maryland. Thank God we weren't in it because I went right that way. And we got back before it happened. And I'm like, I'm just so happy that God takes care of his own. And it's so good to be back.
Amen.
Amen. That is true. Why shouldn't we praise the Lord?
Why shouldn't we?
He has been so good to us.
Yeah.
I just thank him so much for all he's done. He is real.
Amen, amen,
he takes care of everything. No matter what comes, he takes care of it.
Yes.
Lord, he is real.
Yes,
he is. I thank him for this revelation. It's the thing that holds you through every storm, everything. God in flesh. He can walk in a room and take over.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I just praise God. I thank God for the victory.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Brother Jim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't care where you go. You don't get this. You can look high and you can look low. You can look far and wide, but you won't get this anywhere at all. I'm so grateful to be home, Brother Moore. I tell you, I've enjoyed it. And I'm grateful. I was thinking on the way here, I'm just grateful that God allows us to enjoy this life. You know, we had fun. We had a great time. We saw a lot of earthly things that you just marvel with, but there's nothing that compares to this revelation. Everything else, as beautiful as it is, it's just still got man's
You know, still got man attached to it. Right. There's nothing eternal about it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And I was longing in my heart to get back home here because, right. You know, you just see so many people. You meet so many people. And just time and time again, I just think, Lord, this is my job.
Yeah.
This is why you're here. You know, when he said, I have needs to go by Samaria, it wasn't just to get the water. The water wasn't even, that was nothing to do with that whatsoever. He didn't even drink of that. He had somebody he had to meet, somebody's path he had to cross.
Right.
And it was just like through the whole trip, just after person after person after person, you think, Lord, I'm so grateful to have this revelation, to have this understanding, because, you know, like the song says, it's not about my name anyways. There's only one name under heaven whereby you must be saved. It's not even an option. It's about the name of Jesus Christ and glorifying and edifying him and him only. Everything else doesn't even matter. My personal life doesn't matter. I say, even myself, I don't even have my own name. My name's been gone a long, long time ago. Not into earthly people. I associate myself with them. It's the only way they can contact me. But we're talking about God. I want to talk about the Word of God. That doesn't even matter to me whatsoever. That man's dead and gone. Be dead a long time ago. And I, you know, and I love it. I love the revelation. I love it so strong.
Amen.
I came back in here. It's just like a breath of fresh air. I was laughing because when we're on the way home, it's like, oh my goodness, we had just 11, 12 hours of flying and 7 hours of driving. I got back about almost 3 o'clock this morning. I laid my head down for 3 hours and I went to work today and I just on and on and on. But boy, oh boy, when you walk in here, you don't think about the flying. I don't think about the tiredness. I don't think about the traveling. I'm not even worried about spending a lot of time talking about the trip because it doesn't even matter. Every bit of that fades away, Brother Moore. I'm here for one thing and one thing over. That's for God to speak to me, reveal just a little bit more of the promises that you've already told me about, and I can rejoice in the revelation that he's already given me. That's what I'm here for. That's what my real life is about. Everything else, if I talk about it, fine. If I don't talk about it, I won't lose a minute of sleep over it because I'm here for one thing and one thing only. And that's talking about the Word of God.
Amen.
Nothing else even matters. It's not going to edify. I can tell you about the trip, and I'll do that maybe on the outside a little bit. But when I'm in here, the only thing you can talk about that's going to edify me, the only thing you're going to talk about that's really going to stir up the inside of the inside, the only thing you're going to talk about to my soul is the Word of God.
That's right.
The only thing gets me stirred up. Oh, my. I was longing to get. I almost wanted to speed. I was like, God, if I could just get there. I miss this place. And it's nothing. I mean, you can get bits and pieces of it out there.
Come on.
But there's nothing like being underneath the lifeline, Brother Moore. Tapes, I thank God for. Recorded services, thank you. I thank God for the morsels when you got nothing else to eat. But there's nothing about coming in and getting the fresh bread out of God's oven. When he pulls it out, there's nothing like fresh homemade bread. Fresh out of the oven. A fresh glass of ice water on a warm, hot day. And I'm so grateful to be back. I'm so grateful to see your faces again. You were represented well over there, and I'm quite sure I was represented well here.
Amen.
And I'm just so thankful to be here, too. I thank God for everything he's done for me and for my family. He is amazing, and I just thank him for knowing who I am, knowing my promises. It's amazing. It's amazing what we have.
Amen.
And I was telling Pastor Moore, we have promises, and we don't just say these as words. They are something we build our life on.
Mm-hmm.
And I am just so grateful. I am so thankful I was able to see my sister on to glory.
Amen.
And, you know, she's got that new body. And she told me, she said, you guys are taking too long for this rapture. She said, I'm going to get over there and I'm going to pull hard. So, you know, I'm thankful. I'm just thankful because God brought her through.
Amen.
He brought us through.
Yes.
And, you know, he's a miracle worker. I'm going to try to sing. You deserve the glory.
Amen.
Because he deserves the glory.
Yes, he does.
He's amazing. I love him with all my heart.
Praise him.
I thank him for peace.
Yes.
Thank him for just the presence of God in everything that we do, in every moment of our life. Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
You deserve the glory. Holy name, yes, you deserve the glory.
This thing's getting brighter to me too all the time, and just I look at the news and see things going on, like I don't even get caught up in it, not worried about it. Gets just prophecy being fulfilled, you know, and I'm just so thankful for the wisdom I get in here, because it helps even dealing with crazy people. You know, I mean, you get somebody that walks away from this message, I'm like, I don't know how you could do that, but you try to follow them and understand how, it's like it's not going to make sense.
No.
You know, there's spirits loose out there.
Right, right.
Amen.
And people really are going crazy.
Amen.
Off of them.
And I'm just thankful that he keeps me balanced.
Yes.
I'm thankful. Amen. I had an ear to hear it, you know. I've had my shares ups and downs. Times when I was alone.
Amen.
And I'm glad that this word, I felt a pull.
Amen.
Come here. And I love this place. So let's sing Praise Him in Advance, 227. 227. I've had my share of ups and downs,
times when there was no one around. God came and spoke these words to me. Praise will confuse the enemy. So I started singing.
Glad to be here. I was hesitant on speaking because, not because I haven't seen God move around me, not because I haven't seen God touch the body, not because he hasn't been doing things for me and my family, but because I was letting that talk happen, that they tell you, you know, just to stand where you are and say what's going on. So I'm gonna say God's been really good to me.
Amen.
He's been really
Amen.
Good to my husband.
Yeah.
He's been really good to my kids.
Amen.
And he's been seeing us through.
Right.
And there's been all sorts of stuff that's happened. Like, you know, Monday night, I had an issue where pipes underneath my sink just decided they were going to spill all in the basement and all over the tile. And I'm like, okay, so I got a plumber to come out in the middle of the night. And I'm like, okay, cool. Okay, we got this. Then the tankless and the water softener decided they were going to not work. And I was like, okay. So I called the people that installed it, and they came out and said, well, it was the person that put this in. I'm like, okay, so I called that person. They came in, told my husband, we didn't do this. And I'm like, okay. And I'm at work trying to do this. This is the first time I've ever done something like where I wasn't right there. And I'm like, okay, Lord. You know, I'd already talked to my husband. He already explained to me, you know, just let it go. You know, let God have this. And I'm like, okay. So I was irate. And I'm like, no, I'm going to let this. And I called the office manager. I said, look, my husband has some stuff going on. And I said, from what I understand, your guy told him that you guys didn't do this. And she said, give me a second. You know, I'll call him. She called him, called me back. They fixed everything exactly the way it needed to be.
Amen.
There's zero problems at the house now. Work has been going. It's been rough. We've been a little short-staffed, and but you know what? We've been pulling together, and we've been making it through. And nobody's suffered. Nobody's hurting, you know. And we're doing what we need to do. And it's all because of the glory of God. It's what they say when you listen to the word, when you take it in, when you start applying it, when you take that rest in what He says.
Amen.
And you know who you are. What is there left? What is there left when the circle, I mean, it felt like it was raining. It's like, no, it's not raining.
Come on.
There's an umbrella over me.
That's right.
Why am I acting like I'm getting rained on? I'm good. Amen. Just keep walking. So I'm grateful to be here. And I just wanted to let you all know that if you find yourself in the rain, realize you're under an umbrella.
Amen.
Just go back to the word, because that's what helped me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Sing 188. Yep. Look what the Lord has done.
Yep. Amen. Over and over.
Look what the Lord has done. Yeah.
He's always just the same. I'm gonna praise Him. Look what the Lord has done.
Look what He's done.
Amen.
Amen. He has been so good to us.
Amen.
I want to give a praise offering to the Lord for touching Jay. Look what the Lord has done.
Amen.
Oh my.
Amen.
You all may be seated if you can. I don't know. You know, we've been in a battle for the last 5 days.
Amen.
And the devil tried to hit everywhere he could. But you know what? Jay got his liver today.
Amen.
Now he's on the road to recovery.
Yes.
And continue to pray for him. Let's give him a little time before we all haul down to the hospital. Give him a little time.
Amen.
He's got some work to do. I'll keep in touch and keep you abreast on up to date on what's going on. But God gave him a liver.
Amen. Absolutely. Is that good?
And I am so glad about it.
Amen.
And he's going to have things to do, work to do, but he's going to be okay.
Amen. Amen.
You know, he's going to be okay. Now, we got a special night. You musicians, y'all can sit down. We're going to ready to do something different.
Amen.
Pray for Jeremiah. He's out of town on his other father's business, his job. Jeremiah had a meeting, and he won't be back until tomorrow. And I told him not to worry about trying to change plans or jeopardize his job or anything like that. I said, we got enough brothers around here that we're going to do the job. And it's funny, because I got three brothers lined up tonight, and everybody wanted to jump ahead of you. But they didn't jump ahead of you when you volunteered. That's what I thought about. I said, it's going to be first come, first serve. Oh, no, what you're going to see, the thing you're going to understand, you're going to have to understand is what you have is what you have.
Amen.
And nobody else can do it. Nobody can, just like nobody can testify for you. Nobody can talk for you. Nobody can say what they have for you. And so don't worry about the people behind you, and the people behind you, don't worry about the people in front of you. See, everybody wants to get it first so they can get it over with, because they don't want the devil to talk them out of it. I understand, but I already made up my mind before we got there, because everybody asking who's going first. I thought, let the first one that spoke up is going to be the first one that gets to get up. And now we've got a lot of things going on as far as announcements. Brother Eric Covey called me today, and he said Brother Alex is going to be in the area next Wednesday. So we're going to have Brother Alex come and minister on Wednesday.
Amen.
And I know Jeremiah will be here, but Jeremiah will be busy because I'm going to be gone next week. I leave on Tuesday, but I'll be back before the weekend. But Jeremiah will have Wednesday off. So he'll be able to just make sure that Brother Alex get in and get taken care of. So that's coming up. On my trip down to Florida with Clarice, we're planning on meeting up with Brother Tony or Drew Bisa. How many years has it taken? But I got his last name right. I'm going to have to give him a call because we're supposed to be meeting up with him and going to a church that's about 45 minutes away from the Earlys. And so we're going to go check that out because I want them to be able to go somewhere and get fed while they're down there. And remember the body, some are on vacation. And actually, Ted and Ramona, they were down there with the Earlys. So they got to meet Ted and Ramona. And Sister Early was trying to get them to stay. I said, you got to watch her. She'll pull you in that house. But she said, anytime anybody comes this way, they're more than happy to have them from the body. So
continue to remember Dawn and Darsha and their family. It's hard to lose a loved one and a sibling, a sister. That's hard. But just keep praying. But the thing is, we have hope. We're not like the rest of the world has no hope. We know that if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we got one made for us, ready for us, and waiting on us. So we'll just keep remembering them in our prayers. So, Brother James Bond, he when I mentioned Sunday about the brothers getting up, Brother James Bond said, "I got 10 minutes." So I'm like, "Okay, 10 minutes." And then Brother Isaiah, I think it's you three. Nobody else. Did anybody else speak up? So I can't remember. I think it was those three. Okay. So then Isaiah said he's going to get up. And then I got a text at 5:00 in the morning. That's all right. I'm up. I got a text 5:00 in the morning, Monday morning, Brother Deskin. I'll help out. So you know God talks to him at 2:30. So he's ready. So I think what we'll do is we're going to turn it on to Brother James. When he finishes, you get up. And then when you're finished, you finish up. Then I'll do the dessert. Amen. Amen. So come on, Brother James Bond.
Now, everyone knows I'm not a member of the fivefold ministry. But when Pastor said he called for brothers to get up, I had to check. Well, I'm a brother. I'd make him one ugly sister. I'm one of them. Say, okay, God speaks to me. And he was, what he was speaking to me most was, I thought, was just one of my weak points, prayer. I'm a horrible prayer. I like to pray once and believe it. You know, just be done. That's not what God tells us to do. So, but I'm going to let you all know me, which makes this worse. Don't let the filthiness of the vessel deter you. What I'm going to read is from the Word. It's a lot of red letters. And even if that, not that, Pastor said, step up. I reckon I'm under his authority. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is the God of Moore, Allen, and Pickens. And it's the God of James Bond. And that is who we're counting on to talk as soon and get me out of the way.
Amen.
Well, since we're talking about prayer, what is it? Is it a request? Yes, but it's a whole lot more than a request. Is it a conversation? Kinda, but it's a whole lot more than a conversation. When it comes down to it, you are bearing your soul to God. And he's receiving you and communicating back with you.
Amen.
And it's an exchange that's deeper than you can explain. And until you've been in that little room with God, you will never understand what prayer is. We've all, you know, we've raised to say our bedtime prayers. And those are good. That's training. But it is not really prayer. It's not communion. It's not that oneness that you get when you're deep in prayer.
Amen.
So, when talking about prayer, where we should always start, we're probably the most famous prayer that everyone is indoctrinated with who's ever been to church.
Amen.
And that's the Lord's Prayer.
Amen.
That's Matthew 6. But I'm going to go a little before where the Lord's Prayer actually starts.
Amen.
And start with 5, because that's where the red letter starts in that section. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners and the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. So we know it's not like the big prayer lines, where you go through it, you know, you see on TV this and that. They're getting their reward. They're getting the recognition and that. You know, it's not a show.
No.
You know, God doesn't want our eloquence of speech.
Come on.
He does. He wants sincerity. He wants truth. He wants something to
Amen.
Real of you.
Amen.
And the next verse. But when you pray, go to your room where you have shut your door. Pray to your Father who is in secret, in the secret place, and your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. It's when you, you know, it's good, you know, sometimes if my brother comes up and says, pray for me, that's, you know, you pray for him and God will still hear you. He honors that.
Yes, he does.
But it is not the same thing as when you're in that room.
Amen.
It's not that secret place where you get that true deep communion.
Amen.
Go on to verse 7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen does pray. For they think they would be heard by their many words. You don't have to drown God with your words.
No.
And, you know, and there's been Christian fads like the prayer of Jabez, this book. Like, if you just pray this prayer, you might see it on Facebook every other week. You know, if you, you know, if you just pray this, God will bless you. No, praying in vain repetition is exactly what he told us not to, which is why I always thought it was funny with the Lord's Prayer, because that's what we were taught, vain repetition, when we were out in the, out in the churches. It's just as silly as being in a Protestant church saying the Apostles' Creed and claiming you're a Catholic. But the Lord's Prayer is still vital.
Amen.
It is a blueprint.
Yes, it is.
That's right.
Amen.
And, you know, you got to learn how to read the book.
Right.
So, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is how we start. You praise God. You go ahead, you put God in perspective of how big he is, and then you get the perspective of how tiny your problem actually is by comparison. That's just the opener. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is this saying? Well, are you praying his will? What's his kingdom? What is his will? If you know it's his will, you can pray pretty confidently.
Amen.
That's right.
So,
amen.
That's, you know,
that's
and
good.
Put yourself in perspective. Are you praying it?
Yeah.
Give us this day our daily bread. We all have needs. And that's, it's okay to ask God for your needs. I used to be one of those people that I'd be fast to pray for somebody else, but really reluctant to pray for myself.
Right.
But the truth is, I need prayer. I'm a screwed up person, if you've ever met me. You know, I'm a good company.
Amen.
Anyone who wears human skin has that issue. And you might find it easier to pray for other people than yourself. But, you know, who has your vested interest more than you? Who knows your problems more than you? So put your needs up before God. And forgive us our sins as we forgive others. Oh, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. This is a running theme throughout all the scriptures I've done. God will not forgive you and hear you if you have aught with your brother.
That's right.
He wants us who represent him to be like him.
Right.
And, you know, and how much of an issue is it? If Brother Don steps on my foot and I go to ask for, you know, healing for my brother, and I'm still out for Brother John. Brother Don is God's son.
Amen.
That, you know, that's living God. You know, I have to go ahead and put it in perspective. What little things other people done to us have no comparison to the amount of sins that we have done and offended God. So that's what that part of this is saying.
Amen.
And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I don't believe God really leads us into temptation.
No.
We do enough of that ourselves. But we do need delivered from the evil one. We need God's power. We need his authority. And he's given us the keys to death, hell, and the grave. So it's there for us to use.
Amen.
But it's good to go ahead and pray, you know, help keep me from temptation.
Yeah.
We all have our favorite things. It might be ho-hos. It might be pornography. They're both equally bad if you're doing, you know, ho-hos in excess, that's gluttony. You could, don't have to look too hard to realize I understand gluttony. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We're putting it back to God at the end of it. It's his kingdom, it's his glory, it's his power. We're recognizing we start off praising him, We recognize at the end point, it's all yours, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And that's where the prayer ends. But I'm going to read on through 14 and 15, because once again he says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men your trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That is serious. You know, we can't overemphasize that. And like I said, that is a running theme. So, as we're talking about prayer a little more, I like James, obviously, for chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. That is, if any of you lacks wisdom, that's all of us, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. And where do we find wisdom? In his book. In his word over the pulpit. You know, seeking him personally, you could also find wisdom. But as we heard a couple weeks ago, wisdom is also a metaphor in Proverbs for the bride. You can find wisdom in your brothers and sisters to help meet your needs that you would have never have known before. I'm no plumber, but I know people who know how to fix things. I'm no carpenter, you know. So those are those things. And I might have knowledge and skills that could help you. If someone needed to know metaphysical BS stuff that I learned from philosophy, I'm your man. And a PhD in philosophy qualifies you as a post hole digger. So I've helped dig post holes out here too.
Amen.
All right. 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. 7. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all of his ways.
That's right.
So when we're praying, we don't want to be double-minded. We want to be certain. If someone asked you, "I want a cheeseburger or a chicken sandwich," you're going to stand there. Well, you want the cheeseburger. You want the chicken sandwich. It's that simple, you know. And you're not going to give them anything until they figure out which one's which. And God's no difference with us. So that's kind of what it's saying. And I would add too, when you cast your burdens and cares on God, don't go fishing like I do. I think, you know, here you go, Lord. I'll reel that back in because, you know, I'm worried about, there you go, Lord. You know, that's double-mindedness. And God's going to wait patiently for you just to leave your hand open and take it like he wants to take your problem. But if you're trying to give God your problems and holding on to him at the same time, he's not abusive. He'll just let you have your way.
Amen.
Next, I'm going to go ahead and tell what God has told me about Mark 11. We're going to go to 23 to 26. Actually, I want to back up a little bit where the red letter starts in 22. Have faith in God.
Yes.
For assuredly, I say to you, whoever say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, that's double-mindedness, none of that, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them.
Amen.
And right on, you know, it stops there, but if you go on next, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them.
Amen.
This is a running theme all throughout the Bible.
Yes,
that your Father in heaven might also forgive you your transgressions.
Amen.
But if you do not forgive them, neither shall your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now we go back. It says say an awful lot of times and when you're talking to that mountain. Not intention or, you know, good wishes. He wants you to speak to your problems. He created the universe by speaking it into existence. We are made in His image. We are meant to speak what we want into existence. You know, that's how Christ did it. We're the bride of Christ. He poured everything into us. We have to speak and believe. That's your dynamics and your mechanics. In my last little section, we'll talk about where's a good example of prayer in action. I want to flip to Daniel 10, verse 12 and 13. Amen. This is, well, basically, I could just read you, give you the background. We don't have to read it. I'm sure everyone remembers Daniel was troubled. He was praying for 21 days. But Gabriel eventually comes to him and says, you know, God heard you on the first day and sent me on the first day. But the prince of Persia opposed me and I had to get Michael to help me overcome it. You know, so when God tells, you know, we got examples like the widow woman with the unjust judge that you have to keep on praying. And I want to go ahead and probably get kicked off the podium and never be back again. But this is for an analogy for us to understand. It's like football. You know, Jesus took death, hell, and the grave. So we are only on offense.
That's right.
But you got to call your plays.
Yeah.
If you don't call your play, you're never going to score against
you.
And sometimes, like in the case of Daniel, they got sacked. They lost some yardage. But Daniel kept on calling plays until he got his success.
Amen.
He didn't say, you know, he didn't set out to say, I will fast for 21 days. He set out to fast and pray until he got his answer.
Amen.
And that's the dedication we need.
Yes,
if you're playing football, you play for four quarters.
That's right.
You don't just quit in the third quarter because you're ahead or quit because you're behind. You play the whole game.
Amen.
And we are in the fourth quarter, and I would say worth the two-minute warning. We're that close to the end. And things look bleak out there, but we have the ball. And it's never bleak when you have the ball.
Amen.
That's pretty much the extent of what God gave me. Anything else is just James rattling.
God bless you, everybody. Man, this is it, huh? Whew. You know, I was really nervous, but I'm not that nervous right now. Just because, you know, I got really good examples in here. You know, and I remember, you know, when Jay first started preaching, and Brother Childers said, you know, if you got 15 minutes, burn for 15 minutes, sit down. So I told him, Pastor Moore, I have 5 minutes. Because, you know, I don't want to, you know, overpromise and underdeliver. You know what I mean? So 5 minutes is where I'm starting. I got a couple of things here, you know, but I really do want to just talk about Jay for a second, you know, because you know what I'm really waiting on. And because what you guys don't know is that Brother Jay has been such a soldier to me. And like Brother Moore said, you know, he's more than just my minister, you know. He's his barber, you know. He's got many different offices that he operates with different people with, you know. And he's pretty much a savior to me, you know, in a sense. Because when I first came to this message, you know, I was dealing with, you know, the spouse being locked up. And, you know, we're all adults in here, so I can talk about these things, you know. It's a mature bride. So I'm going to take my time because I'm still a little bit nervous, but, You know, he knew I had to get to work, you know, and I had nobody to take care of Micah for me, you know, and so he said, you know what, just bring him over. Bring him over every morning. I can help you out until you get on your feet, you know. And it was every morning, too. He didn't slump. 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm knocking on his door. He's getting up, answering it, you know, and he prophesied into my life, you know. He's been a prophet to my life, you know. He said, you know, Brother Isaiah, I can already see you getting that truck, you know. And I'm driving a little 5-speed hoopty, you know. And I'm like, I like my little Saturn, you know, it's all good. There's a truck sitting out in that parking lot right now, you know. So Jay means a lot to me. And Jay, you know, when we preach here, you know, we talk about these eagles and stuff. And when the eagle's down, you know, the other eagles will give him some meat. Jay, here's some meat tonight. You already got a first serving from Brother Bond, and that was perfect because there's some things you said that was so lined up with what I've got because, you know, Pastor said, you know, you got something different. Everybody has something. You know, what we really don't recognize is that we're all a service in ourselves.
Right.
You know, he said the books can't even hold it.
Right.
You know, when those seven thunders uttered their voices, you know, it was us uttering those voices plus the seven church ages.
Right.
The seven church ages already uttered their voices,
right.
But I'm the culmination of all of them and more.
Amen.
So I'm just so grateful.
Amen.
And feel pretty good. This is what this feels like, huh? Oh, Jeremiah, love you, brother. You know, I just want to give back. You know, when I heard that there was a call, you know, we were in a crisis, you know, and I answered the call because, you know, when you answer the call, you'll answer the call because it's burning on you. And you know, I have a real respect for the ministers, anybody that gets up here and preaches, because, you know, we're supposed to take our rest. But when God calls you to do something, there's no rest until you do what he said. So since Sunday, I've been shaking. Since Sunday, since that came out of my mouth, I said, ooh, you talk too much, dude. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth right now. Oh, you got yourself in trouble. But you know what? I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid because, you know, my God is with me.
Amen.
He said, fear not. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm right here. I'm not even in my notes. That's not my message. But so what I want to start with, because, you know, why it's so simple for me right now is because, for one, I got God talking. So Isaiah's 5 minutes was up 5 minutes ago. So Jay, he said, you know, what he used to do is the same thing that Pastor used to do. He used to just take a small little bit, a little piece of what stuck out to him and of what was preached and ask God. You know, just like Brother Bond said, when you pray to God, you got to pray it serious. And you got to know what you're asking him, because, you know, you got a work to do. And you can't do a work without the tools and without the guidance, you know. We needed guidance, you know. We all needed a guide to navigate us through this life. And so I took just one little thing, and he showed me a couple little things. You know, I'm like, oh, this is really cool. So if you'll turn with me to Hebrews 5, we're going to go right in the same vein that where Pastor was at, verse 12. Because, like, for when? He said, for when? And I'm saying for when. But for when is now. He said, for when? For the time, ye ought to be teachers. Each of us can teach this. Each of us should already, if you have a new birth, you should already know what to say. First off, get out the way. That's the first thing you do. And then you just let God have it, you know? And what he'll do is he'll stir up that remembrance, you know? He'll stir up that mind. Because you're the only one that remembers what God's brought you through. And that's why it's so simple to remember, because all you got to do is remember. See, when you yield your members to God, you have access to everything. He gives you access to everything that you normally don't use on a normal basis. But I do this on a normal basis because we're all preaching out there. We all talk to people. We all meet people. We're always preaching. So when I started seeing these things and God was showing me these things, it started making me like not as nervous, you know. So let me just continue with the scripture here. Ye have need that one teach you again, to be, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not strong meat. See, we're not going backwards here.
No.
See, the time for laying a foundation's pretty much over. It's been over for a long time, if nobody knew. All that's done. It's behind us. So where do we go? Brother Branham said, take him back into the Word. Because the Word is everything. So we'll go to 13. It says, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. And why he's unskillful in the word of righteousness is because it wasn't time yet. It wasn't time yet to have that strong meat, which is where we're going right after this verse. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So not, you know, that meat, it opened us up to what's going on out there in this hour. And the rest of the world doesn't even have a clue. And that strong meat's so important because it can only be given at the end time when the bride's at full maturity. Yes. It's not that we as individuals just pick up strong meat and start eating it. No, the age brought the strong meat. Amen. The hour that we live in brought the strong meat. So by default, that's all I got to eat. That's all he's serving. Can't go back and drink milk because that's not going to suffice. I'll spit it out because it's not balanced for me. It's not enough. I need something with some texture. You know, when I go to eat, I don't look at the price of the menu because I want to eat good, you know? I want to taste my food. I want to enjoy it. And then I got something to say about it, you know? Whether I'm going to be a critic or whether I'm like, oh my God, that was so good. This is amazing, you know? And there's a reason why we have to have this strong meat. And it's just like Brother Bond said. And I love what he said because he's using the theme of you have to forgive your brother. You know, and I don't want to get ahead of myself now, so I'm going to slow down a little bit because, oh my goodness, you guys have a job up here. Woo! Man. So I wanted to flip to 2 Corinthians 5:19. And this is the reason why we needed this, because Brother Moore was talking about, you know, I'm a weird witness. I'm a real witness. Yes, and he said, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses, Brother Bond, unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So we eat this strong meat, it automatically gives us the authority and the power to have the words of reconciliation, because it's just God reconciling himself to himself. That's the hour we're living in, and it would behoove us to really act like it, you know? And I'm just talking to myself because I play around a lot. I'm a jokester, you know, and sometimes it looks like I don't take a lot serious, but I was serious this week. I was burning. But now I feel pretty good, you know. When he moves in, he takes over, you know. So I got a little bit of oil on my joints. Now I'm moving. I'm feeling good. Let me get some water real quick, you know. Ooh, that's what that tastes like. Okay. So that word of reconciliation is exactly what we have, because, you know, sometimes you'll run into people that you just don't quite understand. And when you really, because I want to rebuke everybody that comes against me like bad. And I can't be like that. You know, you're being judgmental when you're like that. You know, just give it a second and you'll find out what a person really, really is actually trying to say to you. But sometimes people don't know how to talk it out. Sometimes they don't know how to say or explain what's really wrong with them. And I'm so quick to jump the gun sometimes and assume, you know, that, you know, this is wrong with this person, but really it's a little deeper than that. And we just gotta be patient, you know? Let patience have her perfect work. And so I feel good right now because I'm almost done. I got 2 more minutes left. And so we're gonna flip to Psalms 40. This is just a little thing he gave me, which was like just a pat on the back. You know, God patted me on the back earlier today, and he patted me on the back before I even did the job. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, you're giving me praise right now. That's great. You know, but why? Because I'm scared, but you don't have to be afraid. And so I wanted to go here. Psalms, give me just 1 second here. Psalms 40. God bless you guys. All right.
Saul's.
Sorry, technology is a little slow right now. let's see, there it is. Okay, so Psalms 40, and we'll start at verse 7. One second here. Oh my goodness. Okay, here we go. So it says here, Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation, which is the congregation that I'm seeing right here in front of me. This is the greatest congregation to me. That's what I believe, and I believe it that strong. I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. And I just wanted to end it there because I did my job and I'm happy. And amen. Amen. Amen.
Wow, I got to follow all that. My goodness. These brothers are beautiful. they come prepared. Me, I don't know. I just, you know, Brother Branham said, I heard this tape, don't even know which one it was, but he was talking to the congregation, you know, some big minister's meeting kind of thing. He said, oh, great men of God here, you know, and doctors of divinity, you know, and this, that, and the other, you know, been to school and seminary. And he just said, all I've got is a slingshot, you know. And I listened, and nobody laughed, nobody clapped. They just went right over their head. And I thought, well, they'll find out here in a minute, I guess. But, you know, I'm thankful for such a revelation, such an understanding. Thankful for my walk. You know, I was sitting there thinking Monday morning, yeah, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. That's when God deals with me. Now, if I could get up 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, I could say something. But, you know. But praise God for it. Amen. You know, my thought would be, let me get the right note here, personal walk. Yes. Amen. You know, there's something to be said about a personal walk. You know, we think about it, you know, as we walk through life, you know, we come across the Word, and, you know, God deals with us. Amen. And then we become part of a body. Yes. And then we almost lose track of our personal walk, you know. It takes all these personal walks to make up the body. But it's still a personal walk for each individual, you know. And when, you know, when you're going through the week and God deals with you something and drops a little thought on your heart, you know, and you kind of, yeah, it's good, you know. And you go on and you're dealing with the world, working and different things. And then, you know, you got another little thought, you know, and he adds to that. And then time you get out here front, and you're talking to the brothers, and you think, wow, they're talking the same God I'm talking to, you know. And then you come in here, and Brother Moore is speaking the same thing. And you think, oh, yeah, now I remember. Now I know who I am. You know, it's a oneness in the body. You know, it's a mature bride. It wasn't always like that here. No, it wasn't. And, you know, and a lot of times that kind of hinders. But, you know, you 11th hour workers are blessed. The work's done. You can look and see what he has done, where he's brought it to. You know, when we were getting up, we was nowhere near that good or that good. We was hitting and missing and worried and scared to death. And I don't know if Brother Moore did that good first time he got up. You know, but you know, we're sitting under the fountain now.
Yes, yes.
You know.
Amen.
And you know, even though there's 200 million demons, you know, they're over in the shadows.
Right.
You know, they're calling out from the shadows.
Amen.
And you know, they can't come where this light is. You know, the light has no fellowship with darkness.
Right.
You know, if you see up there, there's a full white circle. There's a full white circle on that end. We don't have it up there, but You know, we're in pure light.
Right.
You know, the devil doesn't have a hold on us at all.
Right.
You know, we battle with our flesh, and we'll always do that as long as we got it.
Right.
But I was just thinking about some things, you know, and for a scripture, I wanted to kind of look at Matthew 16, verse 14. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others, Jeremiah, so one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom ye say that I am? And of course, Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it always boils down to, what do you say?
Yes.
What do you say? Your personal walk.
Right.
You know, sometimes we get caught up in the flesh. And, you know, a brother a few weeks ago, he talked about how Jesus was 100% God and 100% man.
Right.
You know, well, it's 200%. No, it's not. That's who he was. That was some completeness of who he was.
Yes.
You know, say, well, it should be 50-50. No, it's 100% God, 100% man.
Amen.
And we are the same way.
Yes.
You know, when we walk through life, you know, we deal with things, we wrestle with things on a man, but there's God in us.
Amen.
Dealing with the thing. He's leading. He's
right.
Guiding in every step that we take. You know, when the children of Israel went into the land, they had to clean the land.
Yes, it is.
They had to run the enemy off.
Amen.
You know, and that will forever be the personal walk that a believer has.
Amen.
You know, you got to fight. If you're not a fighter, you're not going to make it.
Yeah.
You know, you better learn quick, because the devil's going to hit you a few blows.
Yeah.
And after a while, you know, quit taking down, you get up and you land him on his feet.
Right.
Knock him back over in the shadow where he's supposed to be. You know, it sounds like he's right behind you, but he can't be, because there's light all around you.
Yes.
But he'll sit there and he'll talk like he's in you. He'll talk like he's in your soul. No, you're not nowhere near me. So, it's a paradox. Brother Bram preached a message of paradox, and I looked it up. And I said, that's something that's seemingly absurd, but, you know, until it's looked into, until you prove it out, you know, and on the surface it looks like, oh, can't be. God in you make yourself equal with God? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, yes, I do. Oh, yes.
Yes, I do. I'd be an unbeliever if I didn't.
Right.
You know, and where it comes, it's all by faith.
Yes.
You know, you don't wait till you see it.
Right.
It wouldn't be faith then. You don't wait till God comes down. And, you know, I remember first come here. We was going down to South Carolina. You know, and I'm going around the things trying to figure this thing out. Of course, Brother Moore, he got ahead of me a little bit. I come before him, but he passed me up pretty quick. And I said, he said, well, what are you looking for? And I said, well, I don't know. But what are you looking for? How will you know when you know? What are you going to see when you know? Well, you know. And of course, that got me thinking. I said, I am looking for something that ain't never going to happen. You know. So after a while, you start looking back. What does the scripture say? What does the word of God say? What does ministry preach? You know, I'm walking in the word. I'm believing the word. I have no trouble with the word. So after a while, you say, I'm one of them. If there's a believer here, it's me.
That's
I remember
right.
Brother Childers, he's sitting there talking. He said, I wouldn't trade shoes with any man.
Right.
You know, and when he first said that, I said, well, brother, I'd like to trade shoes with you, you know. Didn't know quite where I was at. But I trade shoes with nobody today. and for quite a while, you know, I'm, you know, but it's an individual walk. It's not me and my wife. It's not me and the pastor. It's not me and my brother. It's not me and my friends.
Amen.
It's me.
Right.
And unless it's you, unless you have a, you know, the Bible says that, you know, if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart. And if you have confidence
right.
in your heart, then you have a confidence towards God, you know.
Amen.
And you've got to get to the place where you know. You know, I mean, and we've come to that place.
Amen.
You know, we read Revelations 1:3, and how that, you know, in that day, you know, we're talking about this day, you know,
Amen.
When we hear, when
Amen.
We read, when we keep,
yes.
you know, time's at hand.
That's right.
You know, if you weren't one of them, you wouldn't know what that meant at all.
Right.
You wouldn't understand. You wouldn't recognize your day in this message.
That's right.
It was something, you know, because at first, you know, we kind of took Brother Childers wrong. He's saying, you know, the bride come this way.
Yeah.
We thought, well, he'd have to understand everything we do.
Right.
But, you know, we got here and hardly find anybody understand what we did. But after a while, we realized that, no, he's got a little more grace than that, you know. When somebody recognized their day in his message. You know, and I can see a lot of people recognize that during the message. You don't know near what we know, and still struggling with flesh, struggling with Trinity, struggling with everything else. You know, because they're not putting themselves in the Trinity, but you're in the Godhead. But you know, God leads us every step of the way, and you know, I finally got to a place where, you know, I want to speak and I want to move by inspiration. I take all these things I've heard. And, you know, I've been preached to an awful lot. And I've thought about this an awful lot. God's dealt with me an awful lot. Amen. But, you know, unless I put it in practice, unless I step out on it and not be moved, you know, under any circumstance, then it does me no good. You know, if I got $100 in my pocket and don't spend it, it's just a picture of a dead president. You know, that's all I got. It'd do me a bit of good. But when I step out on that, by faith, you know, without faith it's impossible to please God.
That's right.
You know, we keep trying to look for, you know, I keep trying to look, just talk about me, I keep trying to look for something beyond just the faith in God's word. But when you step out on that word, you know, even tonight, you know, and how many times I've done it, you get all enthused. I've been up on Wednesdays quite a few times in the past, and you say, yeah, I'll take it, you know, and then in the meantime, you idiot. What are you doing? You know, you get up there and stammer around and, you know, just fear. But Satan's the author of fear.
Yes, he is.
You know, and God's faith that he gives you steps over that fear. And, you know, they say if you don't have joy, you jump for joy.
That's right.
You know, we're afraid to do that. We're afraid to jump a little bit. We're afraid to move a little bit. But, you know, that's the way you put Satan at bay. That's how you get past it.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you see him take a lap. That's what you're doing.
That's right.
You're throwing the devil off. You know, he'll get on you. He'll ride as long as you let him ride. But when you walk by faith, not by sight.
Come on.
You know, and it's by an understanding. And that's the maturity that keeps coming out in us. You know, children, they worry about things. Children, they fight over their toys and they get all distraught. And they got to wait 2 hours before they eat. And they think it's just an eternity. You know, it's just, but... But you grow in patience.
Amen.
You grow in a love for this truth. You know, and you center down a little bit. Brother Shirley's always said, you know, it's like a loaded wagon. You know, you're not worrying about every little thing comes along. You know, if you step on somebody's foot, you know, you don't worry about too much. You know, you get out of turn, you want to jump ahead of the pastor, you know, you don't worry about too much.
Yeah.
Say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. You know, you come in and you move me how you want me to move. You know, that's all anybody can do.
Amen.
And that's all he wants.
Right.
Just a yielded vessel.
Yes.
And you know, and I'm not, you know, I should have something to say. I've got a lot to say. But, you know, not tonight. But, you know, I always have something to say. That's what it is. You know, and the Bible says you should always be able to give a hope.
That's right.
You know, be able to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
Yeah.
And, don't you have hope? I look at this thing, you know, and you talk about, you know, when you think of the goodness of Jesus.
Amen.
You know, and my soul cries out. Hallelujah. Thank God for bringing me where he's brought me. And I don't even think that, you know, the devil says, oh, yeah, if you've been so long, you know, oh, you should have so much to say, you know. And he tries to build you up.
Right.
1 minute, tries to tear you down the next minute.
Right.
You know, that's just him. You learn his tricks. You learn what God really wants.
That's right.
You know, and I don't fear man. I don't fear the devil. I hate to even utter his name. Because he's so not in my picture at all.
Right.
You know, I'm a child of light. I walk as a child of light.
Yeah.
You know, the devil can whisper. He can play around, and I know he does. And but I don't worry about that. You know, I said the other night at Bible study, you know, talking about how to grow in the grace of the Lord, how to get to a place, you know. When you first start out, you think, well, I'm going to get to a place after a while where, you know, where something's, you know. You don't get to that place. That place ain't on this side. That's on the other side when I awaken his likeness. But on this side, it's a struggle. And you think it gets easier, it gets harder. So don't get your hopes up too high. And, you know, I think as the further you walk and the stronger you get, the devil just throw a few more demons on you, you know. But you just, but you learn to throw them off. You know, the devil throws it on, we throw it off. The devil throws sickness on, we throw it off. I don't doubt in my heart, you know. The Bible says that if you believe and don't doubt in your heart, you have what you ask for. And I don't doubt on that a minute. And I know it's ultimately God's will, but I'm doing my part. I'm looking for my daughter's eyes to be open every second. And I have for, what, 37 years? And I'm still looking for it. You know, I've outlasted Abraham. You know, waiting on that child. That was only 25 years. But I can attest the same thing. You grow stronger in faith. And I'm not seriously looking for it. After a while, you know, when you go, you think, okay, the Word says it and everything. But when it comes, you know, the more you believe the Word, the more you believe for everything.
Amen.
You know, I'm not backing down on the Word at all. I'm getting stronger in the Word. And I have to get stronger, too, to get out of here. You know, I think of David. You know, and I've often kind of thought about this. You know, maybe that lion, the first one that came, maybe he went after that sheep just because he thought, Dad's going to kill me. You know? And you think, well, he's sitting there and the glory of God come on him and he rose up and went after him. Now he might have just said, I better get that sheep back. I'm in trouble, you know. And maybe that was his first motivation, you know. But, you know, as he grew in faith, he realized, he looked back on it, you know. God always reveals his word after he's fulfilled it.
Right.
You know, we can look back now and see what he has done.
Amen.
You know, we can look all the way back and see what he has done. But it's only after it's done. He said he interprets his word by bringing it to pass.
That's right. You know,
so when it comes to pass, then you see it.
That's right.
You know, and probably the mere fact that if he showed it to you before, you'd put your thinking on it, you'd mess it all up. And I'm pretty sure I would. I'd be trying to interpret it, you know. But he interprets it by bringing it to pass.
That's right.
And when he went after that bear, maybe he was a little stronger. He thought, God delivered me from that lion. That was amazing. And now here comes a bear. I'm going after him. Well, by the time he got to Goliath, he was pretty strong. He knew God would deliver him. You know, you come to a no such salvation. You start off with a hope so. And then maybe it comes to a think so. Then it comes to a know so.
That's right.
The Bible says, in that day you shall know
that
I'm in the Father.
Yes.
The Father's in me.
That's right.
You know, we see the oneness, but also that I'm in you.
Right.
And that's the true oneness.
Amen.
Of seeing where he dwells in us. But when he went after David, you notice what he said when he's running up to him. He didn't say that, you know, I beat a bear and I beat a lion, and, you know, so I'm going to give my hand to you too, you know. He wasn't allowing his strength. He said, I come to you. You come to me with a spear and a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord God of Israel, whom you've defiled. In this day, I'll take your head from your shoulders. You know, that was by faith. That was by faith. He knew enough that God would back him up. He'd seen it too many times. He knew that whatever he spoke,
amen,
God would do.
Come on, amen.
Now that's the place where we've got to today.
Yes.
And we've got to get to that place today.
Because
how else are we going to call the rapture?
Come on.
And know that God's going to back it up.
Come on.
I'm not maybe at that place right now.
Come on.
But I'm coming.
I'm coming.
I've seen him work many times.
Amen.
He's killed many a lion, many a bear.
Yes, sir.
He's brought me through many a trouble, many a heartache,
amen,
many a doubt and fear that Satan's tried to put on me.
Amen.
But he's always been there.
Yeah.
You know, I look back through my time I've been here and everything, and I see the splits and things we went through. And God just brought me right through, and I had no clue what was going on. I was dumb and young, and you know, but he kept me. Just enough. He let me see just enough.
Yes, sir.
that would strengthen my faith. I said,
amen.
I see you. I see you. I'm not bothered by these other things. You know,
amen.
You'll lead me. You know, I got to the place early on. I said, Lord, I believe you'll reveal to me what I need to know in the hour I need to know it. I don't need to know everything. Not at all.
Right.
But I have a clear understanding
That's right.
of how God is moving in our lives and how he's brought this body. I can sit back and I could tell you some stories about this congregation and where it's come from and who's come and the high and the mighty and the strong, you thought, you know, and watch them just fall by the wayside on for nothing. You know, like I say, get hurt at man to leave God. You know, and think, what about God, you know?
Yeah.
They went around, oh, we're following a man, you know. Right. You speak for yourself, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, he's this, he's that. And might be. But what about me? I'm that bad or worse myself, you know. Don't you realize, or, you know. But, you know, his grace. His grace is the thing that we hold to. And if you have his grace, you can show grace. You have no trouble giving grace.
Amen.
You know, oh, Brother Parnell,
in a heartbeat.
Yes.
And rejoice.
Yes.
Rejoice in it.
Amen.
The Lord, I love that, brother.
Yes.
Amen. False doctrine ain't going to stop God.
No, sir.
I'd rather see a man right in his spirit,
amen,
wrong,
amen,
in his doctrine.
Amen.
I see a lot of people, you know, there was another one come by, and he was wrong in his doctrine,
right,
and wrong in his spirit.
Right.
We kind of sent him on his way.
Yeah,
he wanted to do this, do that. No. No. And we usually don't turn anybody down. But if you come in here and just trying to be you, we ain't got time for that. We're here for the Word of God.
Amen.
You know, and that's another thing that's helped me. You know, after seeing so many people go so many different ways, I'm here for the Word.
Yes,
you know, yeah. You don't mean to be disrespectful or hurtful or anything, but Satan brings you so many lies.
Amen.
But I'm not here for anybody else.
Right.
I'm here my personal walk,
amen,
with God.
Amen.
And my,
amen,
love for the truth,
amen,
is why I come back.
That's right.
And I can't get away from that.
I,
you know, I would much rather sit right there and get with the preacher. And when I go with the preacher, you all disappear anyway.
I'm
such, brother, you say this, say that. Here's another scripture, you know. I'm saying it's beautiful to me because I so see it. You know, and it helps to know the Word. It helps us study. You know, when we were young, we would take notes and we'd put the scriptures down and we'd go home and we'd read them.
Amen.
We'd put the quotes down, we'd go home, we'd read them. And we'd find out for ourselves, you know, how this worked. And, you know, after a while you hear it and it becomes one with that.
Amen.
You know, you begin confessing it. You know, like the brother was saying, it's by the spoken word.
Yeah.
If you don't speak it,
that's right,
it won't happen.
Come on.
Sorry. If you don't speak it,
that's
won't
right
happen.
That's right.
If you don't have a testimony,
okay,
you have no walk.
Amen.
You know, as bad as that sounds, and as scary as that is, you don't think I'm scared to death up here? You don't think this feels like the first time I've ever got up here? And worse, after following these two? These brothers did great. Great. They said, well, he wouldn't get up first because he didn't know if he could follow me. I didn't know if I could follow him. I said, hold up. Give me something to say, you know. Leave me something. But, you know, it's just the way of God. You know, back in the beginning, you know, God was a spirit. He didn't have a mouth. He didn't have a body. But yet he spoke.
Amen.
And he said, let there be.
Amen.
How important to speak.
Amen.
You know.
That's right.
I mean, if I don't hear your testimony here, I should at least hear your testimony out there. Yeah, I should at least hear it, you know, when we're alone or something, you know.
Right.
It should at least hear an amen from you loud. But, you know, this has got to mean something to you. And for it to mean something, the more you talk about it, the more it means.
Amen.
You know, you think, well, that's just the power of positive thinking or that's just, you know, something else. No, that's a revelation. That's just the Word of God. That's just you doing things with God the way God said to do it. You know, he said if you confess with your mouth,
amen,
and believe in your heart,
amen.
You know. And by your confession, you walk.
Yes.
You know, so much in speaking.
Right.
You know, God spoke all the way through. When
yes
Jesus come to the grave, he said, Lazarus, in a loud voice.
Yeah.
He said, Lazarus, come forth. You know, and he did.
Yeah.
He didn't, you know, he had enough of thinking.
That's right.
You know, Elohim had all the thoughts, you know, that he could stand.
Yeah.
He never had a new thought, you know. But when he began to speak, then things started to happen. Brother Parnell used to say, when God says chicken, there's one walking. You know, it comes to pass. And it's a creative voice.
Amen.
You know, we don't realize when we speak the word, that's creation.
That's right.
That's the same creative voice that God has.
Yeah.
You know, when you speak healing,
come on,
you're creating healing.
That's right.
You're defying the laws of nature. You're defying the laws of science and medicine and everything else. You know, when you speak it. And you got to believe that. You know, you got to believe that without a doubt. You know, I used to see Brother Childers, you know, he get preaching, he'd get up there and just, you know, he just looked like he ready to fight a buzzsaw, you know. But it just a strength raises up in you know, and when you pray, you know, if you want to be close to God, read your Bible and pray. You know, that's the formula. That's how it works. You know, if you don't do that, guess what? You won't get close to God. You know, and you think, well, I'm born again, you know, close I can get. There's a little more than that. There's a daily walk. You know, there's a walk that, you know, we walk by faith. We walk by, you know, faith is an understanding. Faith is a revelation.
That's right.
It's what God has revealed to you.
Yeah.
Like he's telling the brothers, you know, we're about nobody else.
Right.
You know, if I worried about Brother Moore, I'd never get up. If I worried about Brother Jay, who is amazing, I'd never get up. Because, you know, we know Brother Jay as a person.
Right.
You know, and, you know, he can't get along across Fairborn without GPS, you know. So a lot of ways, you know, Jay's just Jay, just like the rest of us. You know, we just struggle to get by. But when he drops into that channel, look out. I think, wow. Wow. You know, and Brother Childers, Brother Jeremiah, same thing. You know, I just love it. And even these brothers, the ministering brothers, biggest blessing to me to have this water coming in. You know, and going down South Carolina, that was wonderful. That was wonderful to see those people in their worship.
Amen.
And, you know, but it encourages you. It don't encourage you to be like them.
Right.
But it encourages you in your own personal walk.
Right.
You know, it encourages me and said, yes, Lord, I can take what you show me.
Right.
I can be thankful and I can give a reason for the hope that lies within me. I can testify of these things, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's odd to me, you know, when I'm to myself, you know, during the week, and I think, you get up every single service. And I think, what are you trying to prove? You know, and the devil talking, you know. But this means something to me. You know. And not only that, but it's been said that. You should get up every service. You know. You also do that, you know. There's too many, we cut it off, cut it off. You get it next time. But be the first in line next time. You know. I mean, you got to get to the point in your personal walk where this means everything to you. You know, when you're ready to step out. You know, I come here, told it before, but I sit here, you know, and you know, we was pretty formal back then. And I thought, well, I want to get up for service and testify, you know. And I thought about it for a second, I guess I'll wait, you know. And just then Brother Childers jumps up, I believe I'll testify before service. And I said, yes, Lord, I missed you again. I know, I'm learning, you know. And you know, just like Brother Bob Robin told about that. You know, the Lord told him, get up, spin around three times, you know, in a big, fancy minister's meetings.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. You know, just then, somebody down the row got up, spun around three times, set the Holy Spirit off in that service. Everybody was blessed and stirred, except for one, Bob Robinson. You know? But, you know, you got to be instant in season out. So that's not just talking about a minister. You got to study so self-improved. That's not just talking about a minister.
Right.
That's a believer. You got to have devil. You got to have the devil's answer.
Amen.
You got to have something to combat him.
Yeah.
When he starts calling out of the darkness, you know, you got to know how to answer him.
That's right.
You know, when Jesus, you know, he fasted for the 40 days and 40 nights, the devil came to him.
Right.
He said, you take out this bread, these rocks and make bread. You know, pull yourself down off the pinnacle, you know, and all these things. He said, it's written. He brought back the word. He spoke it.
Amen.
He spoke it. The devil's just a spirit.
Right.
But Jesus spoke to him.
Amen.
You know, the devil's just a spirit. Sometimes you just got to speak to him.
That's right.
You know, that power of the speaking word, you got to realize the authority in that.
Amen.
You got to realize the power behind that.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, that's why sometimes I get fed up and I start bragging. You know, I start saying, yeah, I'm a son of God. You know, and devil saying, oh, you know what you did. You know what you didn't do. You know what you did over here. You know what you didn't do over there. You know, he's got a million excuses.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm speaking after the word.
Amen.
You know, it's written.
Yes.
I'm a son of God. I could say before everything I say, it's written I'm more than a conqueror.
Amen.
It's written I've already overcome.
Yes.
It's written I don't think I'm going to make it. I don't hope I'm going to make it.
Yeah.
I've already made it. He made it for me. You know, it's by His righteousness. It's not mine. I don't. I'm not trying to work anything up. I am. I'm doing a pretty poor job of it. But it's by His righteousness that I stand. It's by His love that I even can love another one. You know, it's by knowing His love. But He loves me, and you know, as He loves me, I love, and I have no trouble. Have no trouble because I know where He's brought me from, and I have. He's taken away the perfect love, cast out all fear. And I don't have fear when I come in His presence. I don't have fear anytime because I dwell in His presence.
That's right.
You know, and you know, the devil talks, and sometimes he's pretty convincing. You know, just like you go out here and maybe talk to a real studied theologian, you know, that, oh, he'll put that Trinitarian on you. And unless you know your scripture, unless you know where you're at, he'll make you look like a plowboy.
He
will absolutely. Oh, yeah. You'll walk away and say, well, I believe it anyway, but that's about all you can say. It doesn't change the truth. Everything the devil says to you, it don't change the truth. I'm still bold as a lion. I'm still ready to take on Goliath. I've seen enough. Matter of fact, I've slayed Goliath. I've already possessed my land. I've already killed off all those giants. I've already tasted the fruit. I've already claimed my mountain. So that's all there is. I thank God for this revelation.
Amen.
I wrote down a few things. I'm not used to notes at all. It's almost distracting. But there was one time, you know, Brother Childers, you know, the ministers were, you know, they're doing a fine job and everything, but he thought, let's just change this. You know, we come up with their quotes and we come up with the scriptures and, you know, back and forth. And they'd get anointed pretty good, you know, and they go back to their notes, you know.
Yeah.
And Brother Childers said, drop those notes.
That's right.
Speak by inspiration.
Amen.
You know, and man, it made a difference. You know, because we in congregation, same thing. Get going and say, yeah, you know, and then they go back and look at their notes and it just like killed the spirit. You know, and so this is much better.
Yeah.
That's what I love about these ministers here, you know. Jay's Jay. You know, not saying he's any better or anything else, but he, you talk about inspiration. Our brother just takes off, and you think, where does he get all this? You know, he must be looking at this stuff forever, but it's just getting out of the way. It's just getting out of the way and letting God have it. It might not be some great, long, lengthy, anointed thing. You know, I've been anointed, you know, and it's really not that great of a feeling afterwards. I come out of here just drunk. I start getting in the car, and I think, you better drive. I'm my head swimming, you know. And I think, well, Lord, you do what you want.
Amen.
You anoint if you want to anoint. I mean, the Word's anointed.
Amen.
I don't need my body anointed. The anointed Word I've spoke,
amen,
it's anointed.
Yes.
You know, and if it, you know, they all say if it stirs you, it'll stir the bride.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh,
it's
yeah,
the same word. We feast on the same
That's
word.
Right.
We love that word. We rest in that word, you know. So I thank God for the truth. Thank God for the opportunity, as you call it. I'm thinking, opportunity? It's 3 days of... of course, I come to myself after Monday, and I'm thinking... But, you know, like Brother Brandon, if I could say it in the spirit that I received it, I know to bless the bride.
Yes.
So, praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless our brothers.
Amen.
You know, with the revelation that we have in this place, the laity can preach more. I'll say the laity can preach more than what some places get out there. And that's not to brag, but it's just facts. It's the truth, because really all we're doing is getting up here and telling where we're at. You don't have to be ashamed. Matter of fact, you're just telling where you got your, you're just backing your mail from where you're at. You know, and when you do that, you're never out on a limb And you don't get out somewhere where you can't get back. You know, a lot of preachers, they go home and they'll study, and they'll study, and they'll study something up, and next thing you know, they've got this stuff out there, this imaginary message that don't have no backing, no revelation on it. I'd rather have a laity get up and tell me his revelation if he's born again than have a preacher get up who don't know what he's talking about. So, you know, even if you say, well, I'm not preaching, you know, preaching is proclaiming. We make a big deal out of it. And I know God's got the fivefold ministry to do the work of the ministry, but anybody with a revelation should be able to proclaim. And matter of fact, you should. And sometime we sit and we think, oh, well, I'm not a preacher. Well, you don't really have to be. I told Jeremiah when he first started ministering, I told him, because he was concerned, he would get up in 10 or 15 minutes maybe, and he was worrying about the time and worrying about the time. And I told him, I said, Jeremiah, quit worrying about the time. If God gets you up and you only had 15 minutes worth of something to say it and sit down. That just means God's finished. You know, you don't need no long testimony. You just need to say what God is showing you. And then I told him, I said, Jeremiah, I said, I'm going to hold off on calling you a minister, because he was getting up ministering, but he wasn't called a minister. So he'd get up and minister, burn the house down, and sit down. And I told him, I said, Jeremiah, I said, I'm not going to call you a minister. Because if I start calling you a minister, all that's going to change is not your ministry. It's going to change people's expectations of you. So I waited a long time before I called him a minister. He and I had that conversation, and nobody knew he was a minister but me. And I said, don't worry about Jeremiah. When it comes time, we'll do it. But for now, just get up and burn. And that's what you brothers do. Y'all get nervous. You think, oh, well, you get up here, you got to be a preacher. No. Oh, you get up here and Brother Moore's looking for preachers. Oh, I am always looking for preachers. I've been looking for preachers for years. I figure if I get some preachers, I don't have to work so hard. But that's just my own, you know. But honestly, any brother should be able to get up here and do what you brothers did. Because it's not about anything other than you proclaiming what God has shown you and what you know. And please, talk from where you're at. When you talk from what God's revealed to you, you will never get out on a limb. That's why I've never been out on a limb. Brothers have all these imaginations, and they say, well, I suppose, and maybe it's this and that, and what if, oh, they had all kind of ideas, and they wanted to know all kind of stuff, and oh, what's that? I think in the Philippines, they were asking me over there, I think it was the Philippines, they were asking me about Lot's wife, and wanting to know if, since she was Lot's loved one, and did she go to heaven, or something they were wanting to know about Lot's wife, or I forget what it was. Whatever it was, you'd have to presume to give them an answer. And I said, I'm not doing it. I don't care. You know, I don't care about Lot's wife. I ain't worried about her. I'm not going to make something up just so you'll get some educated answer. See, that's what people want. They want education. I want revelation. You know, I want somebody to get up that's going to know what they're talking about. Even when you're testifying, whether you're a brother or sister, you should know what you're talking about. And when you back your mail from where you're at, if all you got is five little stones, you get up and whip the devil with those. Amen. You know, David had five stones, but he only used one. God may show you five things, but you only need to talk about one. You know, you don't have to tell the whole story. You know, Brother Childers used to tell us, he said, we don't have to preach it all in one message. You know, you don't have to tell. You don't have to do it. Just get up. Burn for a minute. You know, when Brother Sexton was here, God bless him, he sat right where Isaiah was. He got older and older and older, and he was here, and he got to the point where he couldn't preach like Brother Childers long, and he'd get up here, and Brother Childers, he said, Brother Sexton, get up there and burn. He'd get him up there, and Brother Sexton would get up there, and he'd preach, and for 5 minutes, he'd burn the house down, and then he'd go sit down. That's all you need to do. Amen. You don't have to take all night. You know, and you can have two or three ministers or two or three people get up. And you see, we have three tonight. And you still got out before Jeremiah finishes. I only said that because I know Jeremiah's going to hear this. But I mean, I'm saying this, you know, you get up and I was blessed tonight. I mean, you know, I really was. And I was amazed at my brothers that, you know, and I'm not shocked because I know it's in you. Sometimes God has to put us in a position where you have to step out. And so, you know, we'll periodically do this because I'm going to be in and out of here. I'll be traveling and doing some stuff, and I may not be here. Jeremiah's going to be working. Jay's going to take a while to get back in the swing of things. So, you know, you brothers, don't be shy. You saw tonight, you know, none of them passed out. So there is life after preaching. So, you know, so that's what I want to do. And God knows, because Jay's going to have a while before he gets back to where he can preach like he preaches. And so in the meantime, we'll have to take up the slack. And brother, God bless Brother Kobe. He talked to me, I think it was today, and he told me, he said, brother, he said, just let me know what you need. Now I said, because we're going to have the brother come. He was calling about Brother Alex coming next Wednesday. And he said, if you need me to get some brothers and we can call some brothers. And I said, no, we're fine. I said, Jeremiah's just out of town tonight. But I said, we're gonna have our brothers getting up. Because, you know, I think it's good for you. And I think it helps not only establish yourself, but it lets the body know where you're at. And so it's not a bad thing. So we'll do that, and I'll be gone this week, but I won't be gone over the weekend. I'll be out Wednesday night, but we got Brother Alex on Wednesday. But periodically, Jeremiah will be called away from work, say, because he's got to travel some to do those things. So if I put the call out, you know what I expect. Y'all know I'm crazy. I'll call you out. And if I see you just letting the same brothers do it, don't make me call you. Don't make me call your name. But I mean, it's good. It's good. Your brothers are the backbone of the church. And if I got a weak backbone, I'm taking you to the Y. We need some brothers that's gonna step up. I love the way Brother Bonds did. That's why I said I wanted him to go first. Cause I said, and he's like, I'll take. I got 10. And I thought, there you go. That's when I'm man up. You know, yeah. Turn quickly to the word. Jump out there. And don't even worry about it. He said, well, the Bible said that the leap for joy. You know, don't wait till you get anointed. People think when God, hallelujah, anoints me, then I'll volunteer. No, you volunteer, and then God will send the anointing. These brothers got up here tonight, and they didn't know what they were going to get, but they got anointed when they got up here. And so God will bless you if you just take, you know, you throw up a rock. Brother Brent Satanga, throw up a rock. Sometimes you make it happen. Get it stirred up. I was excited tonight because, you know what, Jake been through that surgery, and he was on the recovery side, and everything. I sit on the organ, and it was, I don't even know what time it was, but there was nobody in here. And I was just, oh my, in the name of Jesus, we got the victory. And y'all may not know it, but I was singing a victory song tonight because I was excited about this thing. And as everybody started coming in, when I started singing, there was only a few of us in here. But by the time we got ready to start service, everybody's in here singing. See, throw up a rock. You never know. God will bless you for that. God will bless you. So I don't know. And I may ask for the brothers to do it again, even though Jeremiah's here, because it's not about Jeremiah having to do this all. Like I said, I could preach. I could have preached tonight. Felt like it after I heard y'all. But we'll do it periodically just to give you brothers an opportunity to, you know, pull the downy feathers back a little bit. Come on, musicians. I enjoyed it, brothers. I enjoyed every one of them. And they all came from where they were at. Whether it's talking about prayer, and there were some really good points made about prayer. If you didn't take notes about that, you know, I've got about two, at least, I know it's two pages of notes. It might have been three. I can't remember. But between all three of them, prayer is important. You know, you need to have prayer. You need to know what's going on. And God's pushing us into a position where you're going to pray. We need to pray. The hour's getting so bad that you're going to have to pray for your kids. You're going to have to pray for your family. You're going to have to pray for everybody. You know, and And Isaiah, he took a chunk of Sunday service, and I appreciate that too, because, you know, that just shows me that he knows what I was talking about. And then you got the old head, Brother Don, that old level down wagon that's loaded. Did you see how Don got up? See how Don got up here? Just didn't even feel the bumps. I appreciate Brother Don. He's been around. He's been around. He's been through it. So now, come back on Sunday and come expecting. Don, are we having music practice tomorrow? Where's Caleb? We have music practice tomorrow? Okay, music practice tomorrow at 7. And then services on Sunday morning. And no Bible study Sunday night because it's Father's Day. So we're not going to have Bible study this Sunday night. So, see, y'all don't realize how much James helped me. You know, James Jeremiah, they're my brains. They keep me on track. And I try to get up and do announcements. I mess them up. Tell you the wrong dates and everything else. But God bless him. Keep praying for Jay. He needs it. Kevin, do you want something? What you wanting, Kevin? Pray for Jay. He's got a recovery to do. Just keep him in your prayers. Yes, sir.
I won't be here next week as well. I'll be on vacation, but I wanted to testify and, you know, say this place is the greatest thing that ever happened to me. It is. I love this place. And, you know, when you mentioned about Jay, Chris texted me when I was at work today, and I knew about the good news. I did. I was like, Lord, thank you for touching us, brother, because we need him.
We do.
We do. We need him bad. I mean, we really do. And I thank God for touching him. And I told myself, whoever gave him the surgery, man or woman, they got a first God trip to heaven. They
That's
do.
Right.
They really do. They don't
That's
know how
right.
blessed they are. They touched God. They did. And, you know, I thank God for you, brothers. James, you did a great job.
Oh, yeah.
Isaiah and Brother Don, you guys did a great job. I mean, for saying you only had 10, 15 minutes, I looked at the clock. You guys, you just said a lot. You guys just said, I mean, my goodness, it was a lot. And, I mean, we're a blessed group here. We really are. And, you know, I was just thinking about it. When you yield to God, you can never go wrong. God always gonna come through at all. I mean, he always does. I mean, you know, in your flesh, yeah, you always think, you know, because devil's gonna talk to you, but God's got it.
God's
and
got it.
The more we realize that more, we're gonna be all right. So I just thank God. I love this place. I wanted to say it on the record. God bless you guys.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's sing I Worship You, Almighty God. There is none like you. Thank you for coming tonight. Thank you, brothers, for stepping out. And, you know, this is good exercise for us as a church, too. And you didn't have people sitting here saying, I don't want to hear Don. I don't want to hear James Bond. I don't. No. No. We love the Word of God. Now, if they hadn't been preaching the Word of God, you might have had seen that. But because they stood where they preached from where they were at, and they edified the body. The body has been edified. So, amen. I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you. That is what I love to do. I'll give you praise, for you are my righteousness. I worship you. my Prince of Peace. That is what I long to do. Lord, I'll give you praise, for you are my righteousness. Oh, I worship you, oh mighty God. There is none like you.